Hey everybody. I don't know if you can hear all those incoming prompts. Let me know if you can, so that way in the future I know that you can hear somebody saying welcome, because otherwise I just look like I'm staring at a deer in the headlight. So welcome to 2025 and our new series of our podcast, webinar, whatever we're referring to it as. It's going to be on YouTube. You can watch it with our wonderful faces, or Spotify and just listen, or have it in the background. But I'm really excited for this year. It's very intentional. It's going to lead you on a journey. It's going to give you it's going to give you advice, but also takeaways and what's the word I'm trying to say? We want to give you solutions for the things we're talking about. So for the next 12 episodes, we're really hoping that we can help you grow and scale your business. And for the very first episode, which is Stuck in the Suck, Why Scaling Feels So Hard, we have joining me today my really good friend Sean Duncan of SMD Consulting and Advisory, or Consulting
Accounting. It's okay. Accounting is secondary. It's about the consulting.
Consulting and accounting. So I've known Sean since 2017. We met when I was so young. That was 37, and I felt like a baby. We were both on the ADP Accountant Advisory Board, and I sat next to him at a table, and I just remember I was so in awe at his organization. He had the iPad that when he wrote, or his notepad that when he wrote, it went like into notes, and it was so organized. And I remember I went and got a rocket book after that. And then since then, Sean and I just became really good friends. So you've probably seen us bopping around at all the conferences together. I do refer to him as my conference husband, and that's okay. Our spouses know it's all right. We consider us long married spouses to our public, and then we go to our own rooms at night. So just to make that very clear to anybody watching.
I don't know that everybody needed to know all that information.
Be really careful on what I say there.
We're best buds. That's really what it is.
So Sean, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure. So, my name's Sean Duncan. I own SMD Consulting and Accounting. I have multiple other companies, one of which is actually a thing called the Chief Proactive Advisor Program. What we do at SMD is we focus on proactive advice and strategy. We do subscription-based work. This came from a traditional CPA firm, and we may end up talking about that today. It just depends on how today's little journey goes. But then the Chief Proactive Advisor Program is to teach other CPAs how to move into advisory work, because that's not how we were trained, and using methodologies that I have created on helping ease that transition to match that up. But realistically, I'm a CPA that specializes in advice, and we help clients with wealth management as well as tax strategy and business strategy.
You have a pretty cool niche too. Do you like to talk about your niche, or
The niches that we built, or, you know, if you're niche, it's pinky up, niche, if it's pinky down, just no judgment. But we tend to help medical practice.
Our old BFD podcast, Sean, we had a whole episode about niche.
We're super fancy. That's right. So we help medical practices with three or fewer owners. And we have another niche that ends up being software developers. More specifically, we end up getting video game developers a lot.
Ooh,
because I'm a big nerd. If you're watching, I have a Captain America shield and a Thor hammer behind me. I've got, you know, all kinds of nerdy stuff. I've got nerdy tattoos. So I get along with gamers really well, and so does my staff. So why not just work with people you like working with? I like working with physicians. And so we've niched down into who we want to help. And this is, again, part of... we're going to talk about why scaling is so hard, is understanding what it is you're trying to build as a firm and the mistakes we've made along the way to get to that. So it's really about proactive, subscription-based, fixed-fee advisory for successful business owners, but it ends up being a lot of times software developers and doctors.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sean is not only a colleague and a friend, but I've also been a client of his. When I sold my company a few years back, I actually hired Sean as an advisor to get me through it. And what he told me in the very beginning, I always tell him, you gave me advice, and whether or not you think I listened to it, I did. But one of the first things he said to me, which was the most absolutely true thing, was just plan on whatever money you get as a down payment in the beginning, is that's all you're going to get, and make sure you're okay with that. And I was like, no, that'll never happen. And I was like, oh, wow, he's right. So, and another thing Sean says that I love, that I copy all the time and try always give him credit, is I'm unemployable. So that is why Sean and I actually started proactive advisor. Yes. Oh, geez. And my glass wall, we started pretty much at the same time, right? So we've kind of had a fun little journey together. We started getting in the conference speaking. We've just been just best buddies. So we've also seen some crap together, and we've made some, not together, but, you know, at the same time, made some crazy, crazy things, some crazy mistakes.
Well, we've both been doing this for so long. I mean, I realize that next year is my 20th year of my own firm. So in a couple decades, you're going to make some boo-boos. And again, intentional evolution and then unintentional evolution that comes from it. So, and then I worked for a decade for that. So I'm 30 years in this industry and seeing a lot of craziness, both as an employee as well as an owner.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Let's first talk about, so we've already talked about before, owning a business, it's hard, it's not easy, it takes a lot. But some of us, like you and I, we don't have a choice. I don't think I have a choice to do anything other than own my own business. Because like you've mentioned before, I can't work for other people. I can't go back to corporate. I could, but I'm going to be miserable. And I'm going to fight everybody along the way, because it's such a, you know, promotions or anything are based on seniority, not always merit. And, you know, nepotism is a huge thing, and favoritism. And I can't handle that. So I have to work for myself. So I have no choice, Sean. This has to work. My businesses have to work, but it's hard. What do we do when we just are, it's the beginning of the year, we have accounting and advisory firms. This is when we drown, right? Because this is when our clients decide, we haven't listened to anything you've said to us the last 4 months because we didn't care. We wanted to buy Christmas trees. Now, oh crap, everything's due. What was I supposed to do? What do I do? And they're all asking us at the same time. And then, of course, everybody else that you've talked to last year that they need to come on and do stuff now called you. Oh, hey, by the way, I need to onboard right now. And I need you to process 80 1099s for me. And no, I've never collected a W-9. So what do we do when we think, when we're at this position and we're just like, and we're just getting nowhere?
Well, you know, and if I kind of, to the point of the title is why scaling feels so hard, is it's so easy to get pulled into that. I mean, I know that I've done it. I know that you've done it in nearly every other firm. You just get stuck working in the business. You get pulled into it. It's like, oh, I'll deal with that growth plan. I'll deal with the hiring. I'll deal with the new tech later because I've got to deal with these clients. Mm-hmm. But, and especially now when things start turning into a bit of a firestorm, it's one of those mistakes we make. And I made it early on too, that you have to fight your way out of. And I say, like, the point of today's podcast is screw ups we've made, and then what did we learn from them, and what did we do to fix them or eliminate them and prevent them from happening in the future? And one of mine has always been the work on the business day. I intentionally, and I'll explain that in more detail.
I think you have a trademark on that, sir.
I do. I may have a trademark on that, but it's intentionally making time to be aware of where you're going and what you're doing so that you stay on path with the scaling and growth. Because if you're a tax firm, January 15th to April 15th, and then again, August 15th to October 15th, and then somewhere in there, you're taking vacation. So that's almost 6 months of the year shot that you have accepted, I'm just going to maintain status quo and survive. But see, if you just do that, you just end up in this death cycle, because now you've really created a limited amount of time to actually move yourself forward. But if you continually take time to be a business owner and work on the business, I recommend quarterly, you have a meeting with yourself and you plan and strategize, even if it's tax season. I do it monthly, but intentionally move forward. Because in those first few years of my business, I mean, I'm just, let's just get by. Let's just do the work. Let's just do the work. And I realized I just stayed there. I grew, I made more money, but it was just a slog. It was just more hours for more money. And that just didn't work out. I needed to be better. I had to be intentional about that growth and planning. So when you find you're stuck in this moment, pause, breathe. You do the opposite of what you think you should do. You don't dive in and do the work. You step out for a moment to figure out, how can I not have to do this work the same way? And that's not intuitive. You're moving away from the thing that you should be doing, but it really makes a difference on being a successful growing company.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's so hard because one thing you and I always talk about is people, right? So as a business owner, you can't grow without people, or so we've been always taught, is you have to have people. And of course, what we're learning now, or where we're at in day and age, is tech. And then outsourcing is an amazing option, but outsourcing can also sink you, right? If you get the bad outsourcing, or if you don't manage outsourcing right. So as an owner, you make the decision to bring people on, and you let go with your cold, dead grip, and you give the work to them. And then you're sitting back going, great, now I can do my own thing. And then you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, of that thing to not be done and for you to have to do it.
Well, you get burned once, you're going to have PTSD. I mean, I've worked with a number of firms that they have one bad employee and they say, never again, I'm not going to do it ever again. Well, congratulations. Now you have a job. You don't have a company, you have a job. And you have a business owner, you have a boss that also knows always when you're screwing around, because you're always you. Yeah. And you've got to fight through the PTSD. Look, I have been burned to some of the worst degrees. I've got stories upon stories upon stories of what's been going on in the last couple decades of employees, because you're not going to hit on every single one. But if I didn't just pick myself back up after a really crappy situation and go find what went wrong and what's the type of person I have, I wouldn't have the team I have today. We hire differently because of lessons I learned in the past. And we can go into more details on that if you want, but we all get burned. Vendors, clients, and employees. In fact, actually, I have a little tip that I just love sharing, this one. Every year on your birthday, fire someone. Fire a client, fire an employee, fire a vendor.
Or something? Or do I have to go directly to my business? Can I fire people for my life?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Because there's always, think about it, there's always someone that's dragging you down. In some capacity.
Am I gifting them? Is that like a gift to me, or is it actually a gift to them? They're like, oh, thank God, Sharon finally got rid of me. I don't have to deal with it anymore. Like, it's a double gift.
But it clears so much space. And so it's like when you get in those moments of that bad employee that you know you should let go, or that client you should get rid of, or that vendor that's just somebody is not living up to expectations. Fire
them. I'm such a, not a pessimist. I'm a realist, and I love that snarky glass half full. And I kind of love that. I love that. So here's the thing. Okay. So we've talked, you know, we've kind of got ourselves brought up. So let's talk about like the emotional piece of it. So we've got these employees, we've got everything going, and we are still spinning our wheels, right? We get to a sense of burnout. We're putting in endless hours with no end in sight. How do we get out of that? How do we get out of that? Like, I don't need, there's the tunnel doesn't end. It's black. I see nothing. This is my life now.
Or the only light you see is a train coming to run you over.
You'd beg for that. Like, you'd beg for the Independence Day tunnel just to blast you away, but it's just not. It's just a tunnel.
You know, I will say, as somebody who's been through the dark tunnel many, many times, there is no one solution, is what I've discovered. And I heard it recently, and this is a whole podcast that I recently listened to, is that people need purpose, right? We need a purpose, we need a driver. But there's actually two different types of purposes. There's the big P purpose and the small P purpose. The big P purpose is this: I need to have this overarching goal on how I'm going to change the world. And it's this big thing you're moving toward. Sometimes we don't have a big P purpose. Sometimes you just want to make some money and take vacations. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you do have a big P purpose and you don't think it's big enough or it's too hard to get to. We create this weird stress because we only focus on big P purpose. Mm-hmm. But the small P purpose could be, I want to see my kids at their games. I want to help these clients with this result. I just want to have free time to go play video games. I want to, like, looking at these different purposes. So when you're in this mire thing of just, it's not working, stop and figure out why it's not working. Like, there's always a reason. Bad clients, bad fees, bad technology. You're just tired. You're not getting enough sleep. It could be your nutrition. There's a lot of analyze why, but then tether that with some kind of purpose or multiple purposes, and they can be small p purposes. I just want to be able to go knit every afternoon because I love knitting. I like playing with cats. I like volunteering. If your small p purpose makes you fulfilled, turn it into the purpose that drives you, and then you work, it gives you motivation to fix the things that are stressing you out so that you can get to it. If you have a target that you're getting to, it tends to get easier. Now, I have sessions upon sessions I teach on different ways of creating goals and business plans and purposes and passions, but I've boiled it down to it's different every single time. And you look for the cause and you look for a direction. And hopefully it marries it up. And I will actually say this as kudos to my friends. Sometimes you just need your friends. You just need the soundboard off of your buddies and say, because it's part of the reason this podcast is what it is. We all get there. And it's, you're not on an island. You're not the only one doing this. And so when you lean on your friends and understand your situations, one, empathize with each other, but then maybe Sharon's done something to fix that thing that I'm struggling with, and we can help each other out. So there's a little bit of that too, is lean on your community. And if you don't have a community, go to conferences. You'll accidentally develop a community because there's so many of us out there. So that's just my high level thoughts.
Absolutely. Like, I love everything that you said. I was thinking of a couple of other things. Like, one, I think we were talking about this when we went to Appy Camp, and keep in mind, it's all professional services, but every service industry has a conference. Conferences are great, but you can't be afraid to be vulnerable. I guarantee you, I don't even want to mention people's names right now, because anyhow, the big multi-millionaires, I guarantee you they have people that they're vulnerable with, that they say something to. They put on that front, which is what is business owners. You don't ever tell your team, I'm drowning, I can't do this, I want to just burn this sucker down to the ground. You don't tell them that. You're like, no, it's amazing, we're great, we've got all this, your bonuses are coming in the month, and you're like, oh, I need to mortgage my house. But you have to be vulnerable with someone or you're stuck, right? And it needs to be someone that you can understand, or that understands what you're saying to them. Mm-hmm. Because I could talk to Travis, my husband, about it, but he's like, oh, what can I do? Or just quit. And I'm like, no, that's not a solution. I need to talk to somebody who is underwater with me. And I also feel that sometimes when you're underwater, talking to other people that are underwater kind of help you get above water, because you're like, it's not so bad. And then the second piece I wanted to bring up is, I was talking about that tunnel, right? And I think that's the problem that we have as business owners, is we set almost unachievable goals, which puts us in stuck mode, which stops us from scaling. So we need to start breaking down those goals to actually achievable goals, achievable deadlines, where they should be. And instead of looking at the 50 goals that you have, look at goal number one. Check something off your checklist, right? Don't bring something new into your company if you can't make it work in the next 30 days. Otherwise, you just wasted money and it's just going to stress you out. Like, don't onboard something if you're not going to make it work. Like, those two are like two super quick.
Interesting is just this morning, I met with some of my leadership team and we were talking about goals and things we wanted to do. And literally the whole point was, what happened last year that we should have done differently? What opportunities did we miss that we should seize on? Or what do we see as opportunities going forward? Really just taking a moment and assessing, where do we want to go and where are the opportunities? And out of it, man, they came up dozens of ideas. It was crazy, all these ideas. But then at the end, I said, look, you understand, there is no way we're doing all of these things.
Yeah,
it's impossible to do everything you might possibly do. And you have to be okay with it. And it's frustrating because I know this thing, I want all of those things. And we do all those things, we're going to be amazing. But there's just not enough time in the day. Yeah. And so we actually have to then, my next homework on my work on the business day is to calendar that out. Okay, Q1, these are what we're going to assess and do. The Q2 is what we're going to do. And you can create a rollout plan. And then if life happens and new things come in, that's fine. Like, I have no SEO for my marketing on my company. I'm terrible at it. My SEO
is awesome. Dying anyways, from what I've been told.
But the thing is, if somebody finds me on Google, I know they had to dig and do research to find us. Now, I get most of my referrals from professionals and other organizations, and there's other things I do. But I, for 20 years, I keep saying on my to-do list, I'm supposed to do legitimate SEO for my website and all that. And I don't, because it keeps falling down on the priority list because other, I got to implement this technology, I got to hire this person, I got to change a pricing model. Those are more important to better serve my clients, better serve my employees, better serve myself, and not necessarily in that order. That's, you just continue to reprioritize, and you have to be okay with not getting it all done. And that's not easy for accountant completionists like we're trained to be.
No, absolutely not. And yeah, I mean, I've got, so I, for example, I set up this KPI system in Rippling, which the system's really cool, but I need to learn it and actually set everything up. And I've been paying for it for over a year. And I think I have pushed that off every month since June of last month, of last year, because I'm like, I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. But part of me needs to set like an actual deadline, because that's kind of important. But then last year, I mean, so one thing that really kind of cracks me up is, you know, you have the chief proactive advisor, I've got scalable, sellable, and we both kind of, we talk about a lot of the same things, just our direction. You're very accounting, switching to advisory specific, and I'm very, let me help you grow your business, right? We get into different pieces. Like, you're almost like an off, like, hey, you've done this, great, now go to Sean, he's going to help you. Anyhow, just so everybody knows, it's not like competition. There's never competition. But one thing I've realized is we both have great advice. I've sat through your sessions. I know I give great advice, but how often, yeah, you're dang straight, I do. Just kidding. Duh. How often do you take a step back and you're like, I'm underwater, spinning my wheels, I cannot get my stuff aligned. And you're like, am I listening? What would I, you have to like remove yourself and go, if I was my client, how would I be advising myself? And am I listening? Like, how often do we find that we do not listen to the practices, that we do not practice what we preach?
How many CPAs don't get their 1099s out on time or get their tax return done in October?
1099 people. Or, I tell people, yeah, you just claim what you want, honey.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, it's like you said, you hired me for consulting.
I'm not going to get in trouble.
It's like you said, you hired me for consulting and advice on some things that you were doing. Well, you do my bookkeeping, because I was falling behind on my bookkeeping. I'm a freaking CPA, but I couldn't get around to my own dang bookkeeping, and I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
And so there's moments where you just stop and assess, what's the right choice for me in my time, and how do I lean on other people and friends? But we fall into that trap, is we're so busy helping other people, we don't ever end up helping ourselves. And you have to every so often go, okay, what would I tell a client in this moment? It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be upset, get past it, and then say, okay, if the client was telling me these words, but man, we ignore ourselves so much. And it's every time I've ignored my own ideas, I look up and go, yep, knew that was going to happen. And then I fix it. And then you keep evolving and fixing, evolving and fixing. There is no perfect finish line on any of this. In fact, everyone listening, here's the thing I want to tell you that's the truth. When you're listening to a speaker on stage running their business and telling you how great things are, and they're working in this and they're teaching you, they are not perfect. They've been through their own trials. They're not telling you the full story. I'm sorry, we're all a bunch of damn liars sometimes, but we're not really lying. But what's interesting is the intimidation factors, like, oh, I'll never get there. Somebody's talking about how to do this Shopify thing with this QuickBooks. Oh, that's impossible. Look, people have done it. I was the largest tax prep firm in town and fired all of my tax returns to build a purely advisory business. And trust me, I got a lot of phone calls offering sympathy for my problems. I chose to do that. And here we are today. You know, it's done what it's supposed to do. But nobody has it perfect. Never think that they do. What you want to do is learn from the wisdom of their screw ups so that you can be more empowered. Because why I teach what I do, if I can save you the 3-4 years of just chaos on wheels of me creating systems that didn't exist because nobody was doing advisory back when I made the shift, then I've helped you save yourself years of your life. That's why I teach it. It's not about, I didn't do it perfect, and I still don't do things perfect. But if I can teach you to be more efficient to get there, to save yourself hassle, that's the point. So I just have been in too many classes thinking, well, man, this person's got it all figured out. No, they don't.
No,
there's always an angry client,
right?
There's always a bad employee.
Yeah, I even get up there and I'm like, So I'm talking about this. Well, let me tell you that I just, like this last year, for example, so anybody who kind of knows me or follows me online, I've lost a lot. I've lost my mom, and that was traumatic. My dad just passed away. Just a lot of stuff going on. I started two new firms after my acquisition, bought out my partners, merged the two firms together. So I've had chance after chance. Oh, I've had a lot of crap going on. Never an excuse when you own the business, right? So I just kind of let things run on autopilot. And then I came back in. I was like, and then I was fixing it, but not the way that I tell everybody else to fix it. I was fixing it this new way. And I'm like, why am I telling people to do this and I'm doing this? And it wasn't working, right? We're still turning clients. So finally this year, I think I was at one of the conferences and I sat back and I'm like, this isn't working. What am I doing? I'm such a hypocrite. I'm sitting here teaching these people how to do it. And I'm over here looking and going, what? I'm just going to sell my firm again. And I just thought to myself, no, dummy, sit down, consult yourself, go through your stuff. What are you not doing? And go do it. And I had to make like 5 or 6 really hard decisions. Not easy. It's not easy. It's terrible. Like, makes me violently ill to let people go, to end relationships, let clients go. It's terrible. But I had to, for me and my family and my livelihood and for the team that I kept on. But I did them. I made the decisions. And then I was able to go on my 6-week sabbatical where I sit on my couch and do puzzles and read box wine. But that whole 6 weeks was just like, oh, because I listened to myself before I went on it. And not to pat my own back, but more of anger at myself of how can you teach this and tell people and then live it opposite? Do opposite. How? Like, you knock it off. And I blame no one but myself. But now before I do anything, I think, can I implement this in 30 days? Then don't do it, Sharon. Push it off. So I'm like making little notes of things that I say or people tell me, you taught me this and now this is what I do. I'm like, oh, then maybe I should start doing that too. So what did they say? Like, housekeeper's house is always the messiest, or, you know, I guess the good thing is, though, is as business owners and educators, at least what we're telling people to do is working. Now what we need to work on is actually listening to what we say. And like you said, stop comparing ourselves to other people. Like, it's like comparing yourself to Instagram models. Dude, those are filters. You think educators aren't filtering? They're filtering.
Well, the thing too is, what is interesting is when you say you didn't do what you would tell somebody to do, a lot of times building a successful firm is not how we were trained. We were trained often to be employees, right? We went in, you do this, you review this tax return. We're trained on processes differently than thinking of it. And in fact, I have a whole thing that I'm creating is a speech that's related to creating the next generation of owners. It's the owner mindset is very, very different. And what's really funny is, we slip back into employee mindset over and over again. Why? When it's the thick, like we said, at the very top of the session, it's beginning of tax season and everything's chaos on wheels. What do we slip back into? We slip back into, I got to get these returns done, which is not an owner's mindset. And so we have like to continue to exercise that muscle to where it's muscle memory to not do the things that you were trained to do. And so you probably slip back into an old habit because that's just instinctual and training that new muscle. And it is not easy. Look, running a business is not easy, but I am unemployable because I don't take direction well. I will take chances that I think that are worthwhile. I do a firm that's different than other firms. I do things differently and plugging me into somebody else's machine just won't work. And I know that and I acknowledge that. But that when you get stuck in the suck, things are not going to go perfect. And there's this old Buddhist saying, is like, what do you do when you get knocked down 7 times? You get up 8. You just keep getting up and moving forward. As long as you're moving toward the big P or small P purpose, this should be about you. I guess if there's one little takeaway that I've a theme that happens in my firm and I talk about a lot, it's your company. It's about your life. I would love for you to help other people. That's why you have the firm. We tend to be people pleasers, but ultimately we're not minions to the clients. You take care of yourself first. And if you start looking at the purpose piece of it and you're stuck in that suck, you just step back and go, okay, what do I actually want to do? And you're going to continue to evolve. What I wanted 10 years ago is different than I want today. And it's going to be different than 10 years today. You continue to evolve, but it's just pulling yourself out of that and continuing modifying, and it's molding the clay of your business into whatever sculpture you want it to be.
Yeah, I agree. So as we're coming up at the end of the 30 minutes, I really want to make sure that, I know we've talked about it, we've given some stories, you know, real kind of mildly, but what are, if nobody listened to anything except right now, if they're stuck and they can't get out, what are the three things that, that they can do right now that you would say that can get them out?
Okay, well, thank you for blindsiding me because I wasn't prepared.
Sorry.
So let's go. No, that's okay. No, I would say do the opposite and work on the business. Take a moment when you're drowning and it's just, I've got too much on my plate. It'll be there. Go take a half day or a full day committed to yourself and be the business owner and figure out where I want to go, what I want to accomplish. Second is I'd say lean on your friends. Talk to your peers that understand this, because if you go talk to your real estate agent friend and you're a CPA firm owner, they're not going to understand. They're going to go, well, that's what you signed up for. No, it isn't. I did not sign up for 90 hours and all the crazy grind. And then third, as I would just say, and again, this is shooting from the hip here, going back to purpose. What is it you're trying to accomplish? This is your company. What do you want your company to do, which can tether back to that first item, is what are you thinking about? How are you planning it? Where you want to go with this? But I would say, don't forget there are resources out there. There are people, there are outsourcing. You're not on an island. That if you don't have those peers to go to, that's what these organizations, that's like why Sharon and I coach and teach. It's why there's conferences that teach this stuff. There's webinars. There's a lot of resources that are out there. So that's shooting from the hip. I'm probably going to think of something amazing as soon as we disconnect.
You can always do that, Sean. You can always do that. Sorry to throw that at you. I was just thinking about it. I like to make sure that when everybody hops on, they're not just listening to me yap, but I want to give them something. So I do have my three as well. We're almost in the same line there. One is set obtainable and reachable goals. Break it down. I'm always a low hanging fruit person. I like to do those first, but set attainable goals. The second, stop and organize. I'm very ADHD, but I can't function if I'm not organized. If I've got emails coming in left and right, if I've got tasks everywhere and then I have to stop, put them all in my project management tool so I can see what is out there and what I have. And sometimes, yeah, it's going to set me back 3 to 4 hours, but the relief and that I feel from seeing what I have, and then also maybe to identify what was important, what wasn't, because right now it just feels like a pile of work, whereas here we're like, oh, it's only these four things. And so stop and organize yourself. If you're not organized and you don't know what's out there, then how do you function? I don't know how people do it. My third, phone a friend. Be vulnerable. Find somebody you can trust. Find a group you can trust. Find somebody who's been in the position that you've been in, or, you know, a mentor. I don't know what you need. You can call me. Call me. I'll tell you how it is. I mean, and I'll listen to you, and I hear all the things, and it's okay. But I've also failed over and over and over and over again. And even recently, you know, and like you said, you learn and you get back up and you go, well, you've been telling people not to do it. Now you did it. So be vulnerable. If you're going to put yourself alone on an island, you're not going to grow as fast as if you actually talk to other people and learn and absorb from them. Those are my three absolute takeaways. And I definitely have software ideas for that. Sean, you're always, I love chit-chatting with you. I mean, we didn't get to see each other much last year. You were doing a ton of traveling, but we were both speaking a lot of conferences together this year. So hopefully we'll see each other more.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Heck yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me on. Hopefully it was helpful to everyone listening.
You're always helpful. What are you talking about? Everybody should be checking out his Chief Proactive Advisor. If you're anywhere in the accounting or financial industry, he has, but he's got everything. He's got workbooks. He's got it all. And it is really good. He teaches it quite often at a lot of the conferences. And I'm sure you've got you've got stuff all over the place, right? So if they were to go to.
Yep. If things go right, I get the book written sometime this year or next year. So that'll give the workbooks, but that's one of those projects that I have to pace out throughout the course of the year.
But always love having you on, Sean. And next month, we do these once a month. I don't know who's going to be on yet. I need to make that decision, but we're going to be talking about what the what the heck are you building? Why? What are you building? And it's really going to be a deep dive into defining your why and what does success look like for you and how you can align your personal values with your business goals. So again, we're going to everything this year is really kind of building up to, you know, growing and scaling your business. Any questions that we have in chat, I'm going to start answering them directly after the webinar podcast is over, just because I'm trying to keep them a little bit shorter. So moving forward, ask any questions you want. You'll get a response directly from me within one day after this show. So feel free to throw anything in real quick. Thank you all for watching. It'll be available again for a rewatch somewhere soon. My website, YouTube, Spotify, or whatever. And Sean, thank you so much for joining today.
My pleasure.
I'm excited that this year is not going to be stuck or suck for you.
Nope. I got a lot of cool stuff coming this year.
I know. I'm super excited. All right. Have a good one. We'll talk to everybody later.
You guys.